let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, licensed clinical psychotherapist Dr. Leslie Beth Wish gained international prominence for groundbreaking research about women's hidden obstacles to career development and the power of intuition. A best-selling self-help author, her books are Smart Relationships and Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie. Honored for her pioneering work in love, career, happiness, and success, Dr. Wish has been named by the National Association of Social Workers on their list of the 50 who have contributed to the profession. Her solid, practical, and trusted advice has worked for the thousands of women, couples, and men that she has counseled. She's the founder of LoveVictory.com, co-founder of the Counseling Network for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Dr. Wish and her colleague, Dr. Carol Morgan, are developing workshops in Trusting Your Love Intuition. To receive gifts and learn about the workshops and free events, go to Dr. Wish's website. That's lovevictory.com. Sign up on the right. And joining us on today's This Week in America once again is Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. And today we're talking about the intuitive traveler, love and cruising, keeping the spark alive by choosing your cruise wisely, and how to manage expectations for your romantic getaway. Dr. Wish, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. And this is one of my favorite topics, anything to do with traveling and most especially cruising.
Yeah, you mentioned that as we wrapped up one of the programs, how you've been on cruises. In fact, it's been a couple of weeks and you're ready to go back on another cruise. It's like you plan these well in advance. And it's like, you know, this would make an interesting topic. Let's talk about that. For some people, cruising is just something that's sort of unattainable. What are some of the misconceptions about cruising? Why people decide not to go on a cruise?
Well, let me show you my handy cruise ship that we're going to be talking about. And for those of you who are not able to see, I'm holding up a paper model. It's really cool. You know, the kind of models where you put tab A into tab B
and that kind of thing. Exactly.
You know? I had a friend help me construct this because I'm hopeless with that. But just keep in your mind, visualize a big cruise ship. So for those of you who are only on radio listening, just kind of keep that image in mind. It's the only prop I have today, so you don't have to imagine anything else. So let me answer your question. What are some of the misconceptions? Well, some of the main ones are that you'll get claustrophobic, that the cabins are too small, that the hallways are too narrow. Those are the most common ones I've heard. And related to that is the feeling that you don't see land all the time. And some people feel very frightened. They have images of the movie Titanic, that land is so far away. And that can be very scary for some people. So if your anxiety is very high in those areas, then maybe cruising isn't for you. But maybe you could also try one of those 2 or 3 day short cruises that go out of various ports that might be near you, so you have a chance to try the ship out and what cruising is like, because cruising is very safe despite that catastrophe where that ship turned over. But that was really human error. That wasn't, you know, cruise ship error. So keep that in mind. The other reason is that, and I'm going to use myself as an example, I had a total misconception as to what a cruise was like. Totally wrong. I mean, I was so I was stupid. I watched reruns, caught reruns once in a while of The Love Boat. And I would hear the captain coming on or the cruise director coming on, the, you know, public announcement speaker, saying things such as, at 11 o'clock, there's a shuffleboard tournament. And I thought, oh no, this is going to be just like camp.
Exactly.
I thought, I don't like being regimented like that. I hated camp. You know, 3 o'clock was this, at 4 o'clock was that. So I didn't want to go on a cruise because that's what I thought it was. But it isn't like that. You've got freedom to do all kinds of things, including nothing.
Well, and they design them obviously that way, and they've learned over the years. I can remember the first couple of cruises that we took. You were like in the second seating. That meant that you had assigned seats and you would go in there every day and had to eat at that particular time. And now I understand you basically go and come whenever you want and eat whenever you want. So that's not even regimented like it used to be.
Exactly. And even if your cruise ship says that there are two seatings for dinner, you can go to the person at that front desk in front of the dining room and say, look, both times are kind of off for us. What if we come every night at 7 o'clock or 7:15 or 6:45? You can do that now. So you do have control over your fun.
A second ago, you held up this big boat, and some would look at that and go, that is really big. There are thousands of people. This is really going to be fun. And others would look at that and go, wow, do I really want to travel with 6,000 other people out on the water? Talk about how we should go about deciding the size of the ship that we're on.
Great question, because I am asked so many times, what's the best cruise line or what's your favorite cruise line? And my answer is always, it depends who's going and what you want. So let's think about the big cruise ships. The benefit of those, usually, not always, but most often, is that they're very, very large and you have more chances to be really midship, so that you're not too close to the beginning or the end of the ship. Okay, very okay. Important, because think of being in your car and water and raining and coming, and it hits the front end of your car first, your hood, right? So think of the hood of the ship. I mean, they go by different names, but the bow, and that is the one that's going to receive the most motion. So if you are prone to seasickness, you want to be in the middle of a ship. But if your ship is real tiny, well, then the middle gets shrunk a little bit. So there isn't much of middle to a smaller ship. So if you are very prone to seasickness, think of a slightly larger ship. It doesn't have to be as big as the one I'm holding up. Secondly, think about who's going. Are young kids going, teenagers going? Usually the larger ships have more family activities. So it's very important to determine, you know, who's part of the group that is going on this cruise. So those are the key things to think about. And then finally, and also equally as important, is how much do you want to spend? The rule of thumb is the smaller the ship, the more expensive it is, which is, you know, think about it. It means that they have less crew, less cabins, very, very appealing to some people, but they're more expensive because there's less revenue forms for them right. to make money on all the cabins. So the smaller the ship, usually the more expensive. Not always. There are some midships that are like 1,200 people, 900 people, and that's sort of like a little sweet spot. But again, it depends who's going. You want to take a look to see if there's a rock climbing wall or ice skating or wave runners. That might be better for families. So think very carefully about who's going.
Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, our guest in the program. We're talking about love, the intuitive traveler. We'll get to the love aspect of that here, the expectations in a second. The website for Dr. Wish is lovevictory.com. You mentioned seasickness. And for somebody who hasn't done that before, they're thinking, wait a minute, am I going to get sick? And we hear so much with the new ships, with the stabilizer bars and everything that's put yes. into the ship. How big a problem is getting seasick?
Well, it can ruin your trip if you're super prone to it.
Well, yeah, if you're one that's going to get seasick, it's a big problem, I guess. But does it happen as often as people might think that are not accustomed to cruising?
Not really. And believe it or not, I am prone to seasickness, but it has never stopped me from going on a ship. And there's lots of things you can do. Talk to your family doctor about whether there's any prescription medication that works for you. Talk about whether you can try something over the counter. Some of the things over the counter can make you sleepy. The one that works for me, I'm going to mispronounce it, the Bonin, it's the generic is Meclizine. And if you take according to your body size. I mean, I'm 5'2", 102 pounds, so I take half a pill if I need it. But it really does work. And if you do get seasick on a voyage, again, get to that middle of the ship.
That is the place to go. And I remember the first cruise, I did not have a problem cruising. I had a problem getting back on land, and I was shaky. I was sort of going back and forth with the rhythm of the ocean, and it was strange.
Right.
I want to talk about the love aspect of it and the rekindling the spark, that type of thing. But it's interesting on price. For many people, they hear inclusive, and then they find out, well, I really need to be careful because not everything is included. Explain how that works, and sort of like you're better off finding out now what everything is going to cost you as opposed to when you leave and suddenly you find out you've got a $812 bar bill that you didn't think you had.
Exactly. And that's why we're talking about intuitive traveling. The aspect of being intuitive is that you have the answer in you, but when someone points it out to you, your reaction is, oh gosh, why didn't I think of that?
Exactly.
So do your homework ahead of time. Read the brochures and make a phone call to your travel agent or to the cruise and ask for specific. There I go again. Specifics, all right? I started to say Pacific, which I got cruising on the mind, right? get all those details because you want to know, are my beverages included? Does that include alcohol? What about the internet? What about tipping? Those are the main things that people are concerned about, and you should know the answers to those before you go.
And you hear them talk about all the excursions, and they all sound great. And if you were a novice, you might think all of those or most of those are included because I'm on the all-inclusive cruise. Not necessarily true, is it?
Not always. And sometimes cruises have one or two included cruise, you know, destinations or,
right.
or, you know, get off the ship and go here, and it's like a little, you know, tour or something. And sometimes those are great, but they may not be what you want. So, again, pay attention to whether you have day trips or anything. Are all those little shore excursions included? So very good question.
Let's talk about, and I'm going to try not to sing this, what does love have to do with it? How does that work into the equation?
Well, a lot of times cruises is for honeymooners. Often they go on honeymoons, or they go on them to kind of rekindle their relationship, put some excitement into it, or to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary. So all those are great things. In fact, my husband and I do that a lot. We'll go on an anniversary cruise or a birthday cruise if we can. But what about your expectations? You know, for all the fun and the excitement that you have, cruising can be very exhausting, particularly if your itinerary is port intensive. So take a very close look at your itinerary. Are there days at sea? Is there downtime? Otherwise, you're getting off the ship, then back on the ship, and the next day off the ship and back on the ship. And believe it or not, people come home from cruises and say, I need a few days to just to
exactly,
get back
yes.
into my life again. So take a look at why you're going. If you're looking for love and rekindling, it might be good to have at least one or two days at sea. That would be very important. Or you don't have to get off the ship. You know, a lot of times on the ship, it's really nice to be there when everybody else is gone. So think carefully about where you want to have your intimate times.
So it's really important to manage those expectations. I mean, it sounds great. You're going to be together for 7 days, but you can't really leave because you're there. Oftentimes you're out in the middle of an ocean, so you can't leave. You're there. You're drinking maybe more than you usually do. So you really need to have some sort of maybe limits expectations, realistic ones in your mind before you go into the cruise.
Yes, that's really good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, how much are you really going to drink? That can really kind of, you know, mess up your mind and certainly can put a dent in your sex life. You could pass out, not feel anything, not be in the mood. Those are not good romantic things to have. So talk about that. You know, those beverage packages that include alcohol, you know, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to use an extra eye on your expenses as a way to curb your tendency to drink. Be very careful about that. Also, don't use cruise time to talk about hot topics between you and your partner. You do not want to spend your time on the cruise arguing or storming away from each other.
It's interesting. So if you've got some life-altering decision you want to bring up, maybe it's a good time to do that when you get home as opposed to when you're sailing into Bermuda. It's not the time really to go into that. And length of cruise is interesting too, maybe especially if you're newly married, have not spent a lot of time together, and you can do, you mentioned the 3-4 day cruises that are very popular. Should you do a 7 day? Well, what's the right length for someone who is just beginning in cruising?
Well, 7's okay. That's not too bad. The short ones are good.
Right.
But, you know, pay attention to, you know, go on cruisecritic.com, read about the ships you're looking at, because the secondary ports and the main ones out of the United States usually go out of Florida, or sometimes they go out of New York. You have to look very carefully because you want to make sure that the ship has good reviews. You can trust some of those. So don't just restrict it to how many days, but a week goes pretty quickly. The other things you can do to have a good time is agree ahead of time that you're not going to be, you know, linked at the hip. You're not going to be, you know, tied together all the time, that you can go your own way. Maybe you want to go to the gym at different times as opposed to the same time. But work out some of those pre-planning things ahead of time.
How do you go about unplugging? This is something that, you know, when I cruised the last time, I was trying to find a fax machine. We've moved on from that. Now it's like all of this, I need to be connected. I need to make contact with the office. How do you go about sort of setting that aside? And I'm assuming that you should set that aside for sake of having this romantic getaway.
Well, you know, you could put something on your emails that saying, I'm at a conference or something like that. You don't want to say that you're out of the country. You don't want to broadcast that. But you can say, I'm attending a local conference for the next few days. Please save your emails unless it's really urgent.
It's interesting. And if you are one that really needs to be on the internet a lot, what try to limit that a little bit and spend time enjoying where you are and what you're doing and who you're with.
Especially since those internet packages can be very costly. They can eat up minutes really quickly. So that's a great deterrent.
And something you really need to check before you get involved and do it and then find out later, I just spent $500 on internet connection and I didn't realize, I thought the Wi-Fi was free, and of course it's not. A couple minutes left in the program. We're talking with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, talking specifically about the intuitive traveler, love and cruising, keeping the spark alive by choosing your cruise wisely. Her website is lovevictory.com. And the minute or so left in the program, what was your one of the most favorite destinations, cruises that you've been on? And then I'll ask maybe your least favorite. What was the one you really liked the most?
I love the one going to the Baltics. I really did. I enjoyed going to St. Petersburg, Russia. I lived in the Soviet Union many, many years ago for a year as a grad student in Moscow, but I never got to St. Petersburg. And I also loved any cruise that went to Venice, Italy. But, you know, we left out something really important, how to pick a cruise cabin. Those of you who are just listening, I want you to make a plus sign with your fingers. And I want you to think about being smack dab in the middle of that plus sign so that your cabin is midship from top to bottom and front to back. That's how you get the most stabilization. That's very, very important. Also, you want to be careful on a cruise ship about going too high up on the decks, because that's where you have a little bit less stability than you do smack in the middle of the ship. Because, you know, think of a sailboat in the water somewhere, and you see the mast and the sail kind of going back and forth. And if you get too high, you also don't want to be the first deck of passengers, because sometimes your cabin could be right above the crew. And on some ships, they allow the crew to smoke, and some of that smoke can go up into your cabin. So that's why I like the idea of making a plus sign with your fingers, and you want to be right at that intersection if possible. If you can't, and you've got a choice of being forward or back of that plus sign, go back.
Always great advice, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, our guest on the program. You can find past programs that we've done with Dr. Wish at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can look in video, you can do the audio, and have a chance to watch and to listen to those programs. Talking about the intuitive traveler, Dr. Wish will be back next program. We're talking about intuitive proposals, and I'm looking forward to that. Great information on cruising, especially setting and managing your expectations, because it is a great chance to get away with that someone special, and you need to do it properly. So if you're gone for 7 days, you enjoy all 7 of those days. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you. Bon voyage.
Exactly. And we'll keep track of how many cruises you've got by the time we're back here next time and find out and get some more tips. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, our guest on the program. Her website is very simple, lovevictory.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.